Father, we do thank thee today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that thou would open the Word to us now. Help us to lay hold of the truth of this particular section. And as we realize how carefully the future is planned, may we be willing to trust our future to thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we left you yesterday, we were discussing the fact that some people believe that the prophecies related to the city of Babylon have already been fulfilled, and thus our suggestion that the city of Babylon described in Revelation 18 is a literal city could not possibly be. The reason that most folk give for feeling that way is that the prophecies related to the city of Babylon indicate that it was to be totally destroyed, and they suggest that such is the case. We said that today we wanted to glance at some of the passages in the Word of God in which Babylon is mentioned, and thus arrive at some conclusion about our assertion. Now, most of us are familiar with what the Bible has to say about the city of Babylon in the more familiar passages, such as Genesis chapter 10. We know, for example, that the city of Babylon was first built, or the record of its building was given in Genesis 10. And we are aware of the fact that the books of Jeremiah and Daniel are devoted almost entirely to discussions of the city of Babylon. We are also aware that 11 other books of the Old Testament have within them many references to the city of Babylon. We are also aware that 4 of the New Testament books have some reference to the city of Babylon. Now, time would not permit us to examine all of those passages of Scripture, but I would suggest that when you have time, you read especially Genesis chapter 10 to get the very beginning of things. Then read very carefully the book of Daniel and what it has to say about the city of Babylon. Then Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 14, and top that off by reading very carefully Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51. You will find that the city of Babylon was originally built to dominate the world. It seems that every worldwide emperor has wanted to make the city of Babylon his capital, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, and so on. On down through the ages, even to more recent times, Napoleon Bonaparte planned to make the city of Babylon the capital of the empire that he was building. We understand Hitler had some blueprints set away for the purpose of making the city of Babylon the capital of the empire that he wanted. We neglected to mention Alexander the Great, who was in the process of rebuilding the city of Babylon for that very purpose when his life was cut off. I think the reason why all the so-called world emperors have wanted to make the city of Babylon their capital is that the devil himself planned for the city of Babylon to be the capital of the Antichrist. Will you turn back with me, please, to Revelation chapter 16? And notice verse 10. Revelation 16:10, the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the seat of the beast. Perhaps you will remember we told you that when we looked at that verse in detail, that its meaning was, he poured out his bowl upon the throne of the Antichrist. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. When we compared Scripture with Scripture, including verse 19 of this same chapter, we discovered that the seat of the beast, the capital of the Antichrist, is none other than the city of Babylon. Because we read in Revelation 16, verse 19, the great city was divided into 3 parts. The great city is the city of Jerusalem, of course. And the cities of the nations fell, notice carefully, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. You are aware, I'm sure, that most people feel that the prophecies of Isaiah 13 and 14 and of Jeremiah 50 and 51 declaring the complete destruction of the city of Babylon have already been fulfilled. You should be aware of it. I have mentioned it several times over in this broadcast. It is assumed by many Bible scholars that this destruction occurred permanently when the Persians captured the Babylonian Empire. But I would like to suggest that you read these chapters again very carefully, and you will find that not all of the prophecies in those chapters were fulfilled. If they were, there would be a very real problem to explain. Those chapters tell us that not only was the ancient city of Babylon destroyed, but there was to be no inhabitant residing at the location of the city of Babylon. Not one stone was to be left upon another. And yet, we are now told, at this very present moment, there is on the exact site of the city of Babylon a village by the name of Helia with 10,000 inhabitants. We are of the opinion, then, that the complete destruction of the city of Babylon, described in Isaiah 13 and 14, Jeremiah 50 and 51, has not yet been fulfilled. If it has not yet been fulfilled, if it is going to find its fulfillment in Revelation 18, we can arrive at no other conclusion than that the city of Babylon will be rebuilt. We believe that Revelation chapter 18 speaks of a literal city of Babylon and demands the rebuilding of a city by that name on the ancient site of the old Babylon, that city to become a world capital. Somebody may say today, well, I think personally that we're just dealing in wishful thinking. I would like to dispel any such illusion as that. It thrills my heart to be able to do it. Not from the standpoint of winning an argument, so to speak, but from the standpoint that the end of the age is near, and our Lord surely must be about to return when there is so much evidence related to the things that are being accomplished in connection with the end of the age. I have in my possession a magazine entitled The National Review. It is a journal of fact and opinion. This issue is of April the 10th, 1962. As I turned through this magazine, I came to a page entitled Babylonian Meditation, written by Frederick D. Wilhelmson. I began reading this with a real thrill in my heart because it begins this way. Mr. Wilhelmson says, quote, "The other day I was in Babylon. The approach to the ruins is through a fine arch made of the same dung-colored brick from which was built the old city of Sin. Stacked up against the walls of the little museum, set back behind the arch, were tier upon tier of the same brick, stamped with the famous lion. The government of Iraq is rebuilding the city, and when finished, Babylon will be as she was. An unobservant visitor could not tell the difference between the brick taken from the original site and that from the new arch. They build now as they did then, 4,000 years ago." End of quote. How encouraged, beloved, our hearts should be that God's word never fails and that every jot and tittle of it will be fulfilled. One might ask, what kind of city will the future city of Babylon be when it is rebuilt? Well, I wouldn't attempt to describe it in the terms of architecture, because there is nothing in the scripture to indicate what kind of city it will be. I do think that common sense would demand that we expect a city modern in every detail, for there is no point now in building a city that would not be up-to-date and modern, especially if that city is to be the capital of the known world at a later date. As we look through chapter 18, I'm going to suggest that some of the things that will be true about the city of Babylon when it becomes the city of the world are evident. Notice verse 2 of Revelation chapter 18. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. One thing this verse of scripture reminds us of is that Babylon will be the wickedest city this world has ever seen. We are told in the scripture that there will be an increased activity of demons at the end of the age. I believe as we approach the end of the age, we can see a greater activity among demons than we could even 10 years ago. But that activity will increase in intensity and will be centered in the city of Babylon. And why should it not be? If the arch representative of the devil himself, the Antichrist, is already there. This city is indicated as a place of great wickedness, because we are told also in verse 13, when the riches of the city are described for us, that this city deals in things such as cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour, wheat and beasts, sheep, horses and chariots. But notice carefully, it deals also in slaves and in the souls of men. We have every reason to believe that slavery will be instituted again in some form or another at the end of the age. We see from this verse of scripture that this wicked city will have no respect for human life. It will have no respect for the precious souls for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. It will deal in these human souls as it deals in the inanimate things mentioned, such as brass and iron and marble. Surely there would be no need to try to prove any further that the city of Babylon indeed will be the wickedest city in the world. We're going to stop our discussion there.